All right, we're going to be launching from Matthew 28, 18 through 20. Every week we read this commission in our commission. And so this is going to be our launching pad today. Again, kind of topical, but exciting. Matthew 28, 18 through 20. God's word says this. And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age." Let's pray. Father, help us to embrace this seemingly impossible mission. For it is impossible without you. No one can even conceive such a thing without you. Without the revelation of your word, your heart. No, this is not the commission, the goal, the aim of the flesh. This can only be by your Spirit. Lord, we'll let everything that we want to do may be grounded in this passage, trusting you, relying on you. Help us, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. When you think of goals or a vision, when you think of a great commission, that's what we're thinking about here. We're looking at something that is a focus, a mission, something that is beyond us. And with working with Matthew on like business things, you know, we have vision, we have goals, and then you actually have to like do the work to get to the mission. Right, it's one thing to have a vision and say, "Hey, we're going to do this," but if you never do the things, all the steps to get to the mission, then nothing gets done. And businesses and people live their whole life having a vision, but never taking steps to move towards it. It sounds good. It's biblical. I mean, it's right, but shouldn't we be taking steps, hard, sweaty steps to this vision, to this goal? Will you? It's easy in our climate today to have these types of visions for the future and do nothing. It's easy to hold on to doctrines and to say we believe certain things, check the boxes, and do nothing. It's hard to move. And this is a very hard move to reach the nations. But one of the guys we watched, his name's Alexander, or what's his name? Hormozy? Alex, yeah. Big muscle bound guy. And he says it this way: their stress in trying to reach the goals, their stress when you don't do anything. There's always stress, right? You've been around long enough. You're like, "I want to do this." You don't do it. And then you feel like a scumbag for not doing it. So there's stress for inaction. And there's definitely stress for action. Therefore, you might as well be stressed and try to reach the goal. There's always going to be stress, right? But why be a scumbag and sit around and do nothing? Why don't we together, and that's the great part of this, We're not alone. We're not alone. We can do this together. There is a mission for the church. There is a mission for our church. And it is a great mission, an impossible mission that God wants us to accomplish. He's going to accomplish it with us or without us. The book of Revelation, you see multiple churches being rebuked. And Jesus is saying, I will take your lampstand unless you repent. The platform that I gave you, if you do not use it, I will take it from you. This is to the churches. And these were probably amazing churches at the time. So we need to be those that would see what we have. We need to be those that can understand this great mission. And we need to be those that take steps. What are the next steps? And what we've seen so far, I guess, is that, well, the idea we've been talking about, membership. And the first idea was, what is church membership? And we said that basically what we're saying is, I'm a Christian. I belong to this church, this universal church, but it's expressed in a local fellowship. We said it doesn't make any sense that you could be a part of a universal church and then not be in a local church. It's crazy. Even though we have many Christians that think that they can do this. They bounce around from churches. They never really submit to eldership, leadership. And they even go and they do evangelism and stuff. And yet, they're not properly grounded in what it means to live on earth on mission. Even though they might be doing more, even though it looks like they're doing more, they miss what Jesus has designed. And so we looked at what is church membership. We said that, and then we looked at what are the duties of the church officers. We went into, and we've been talking about this for the last year as far as qualifications of elders, serious, weighty qualifications. And then we looked at what are the duties of the congregation. These duties that would help us to live out this life, stay on a correct path. And then today we're going to look at what is this local church. What is this local church? And we're going to see our four distinctives of Christ Reform Fellowship. Four distinctives. Now there's many more distinctives. This is not an exhaustive list, but kind of summarizing some of the things here. And then the purpose is, will you honor Christ by living out these distinctives? Are you going to buy into these ideas? And then are you going to commit to these ideas in the coming future by saying, yes, I'm going to be a member of this church, and I'm going to commit to this? Or at least say, I'm not sure about membership right now, but I want to be committed to this. I want to learn more about this. This is tasty. This looks appealing. And I'm willing to learn. Right? So four distinctives of Christ Reformed Fellowship. The first one is this, kind of crazy. CRF exists to make Garner a Christian city. CRF exists to make Garner a Christian city. What are you talking about? I mean, what? Why do you got to be so specific? Again, you can make goals all day long. You can quote the Great Commission all day long. But until you say, this town, this family, this church is going to be submitted to Christ, it means nothing. Again, everybody reads this passage. Everybody reads Matthew 28. And it means nothing to them. It might be like, oh, I'm supporting a missionary. It might be, you know, we're giving to the cooperative program. But it really means nothing. Because it's easy to give money. It's easy to say, yes, we're supporting. And do nothing. We're not going to be that church. We're going to exist to make Garner a Christian city. Again, and Jesus came and spoke to them saying, All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. And then verse 19, this is what I'm talking about. This is what I'm trying to drive the point here. What does he say? Verse 19, what is that word? Go! Go! Will you go? Will you actually put one foot in front of the other and obey because he has authority? Will you? And what does that look like? Again, it's delegated authority. Delegated authority. He's saying, I'm doing this, I'm going to do this, but you're going to flesh it out. Aren't we the body of Christ? Aren't we the body of Christ? What does that mean? He is the head. He thinks. You ever think about your hand moving? Like, you're not even thinking about it, but the mind, the brain is connected to the hand. And you're doing these things. We are the hands. We are the feet. He is the mind. He says he has authority, and he will act it out in the world through his church. And you must get this. Acts 1:8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be my witnesses. Listen to this. Both in Jerusalem, right where they were. Garner, right? And not just Garner. We'll go to Wake Forest. We'll go to Wake County. We'll go wherever God starts something, we'll go there. I mean, if we can't take Garner right now, we take Wake Forest. That's fine. But we're going. We have a plan. And it starts where you are. It starts where you are. This is where sovereignly God has led you. You're living here. This is your area. This is your town. Do you not love your neighbor, your literal neighbor? And yet somebody's thinking about way off in Africa. We cry. We watch a video because people are starving. That's fine. We can help them. But it has to start here. It has to start here. It makes no sense. How do you help that starving pagan in Africa, even though Africa is probably more Christian than most of the nations than America? How do you help them? I'm going to give out some money. I gave out my $19.95 every month. Guys, it starts here. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and even to the remotest parts of the earth. Yes, we're going to go there. We're going to go there. We're going to cooperate. We're going to help people. We're going to give money. We're going to go there. We're going to send people. But we start here. We start in Garner. We should love the locals. We will spread out. But we should love these people. And what is this message that we're teaching? That a holy God has full right to destroy everyone. This holy God has full right to destroy. We're going to go to Garner, people in Garner. We're going to say, a holy God has full right to kill you because of your sin and to send you to hell forever. It's not a popular message, but it's the message they need. Because they got to see the problem before they can see the answer. I'm going to tell them about this holy God, that he has full right, but through Jesus, because of grace, mercy, Jesus has come to save the world. They should feel the weight of a holy God upon them, and then they should feel this lightness, this beauty of this Savior that has come to save them out of this situation. And we're not going to be ashamed of this gospel. We're not going to be ashamed of telling people the truth about what Jesus is doing in the world. And why? Why is he doing this? Is it just for salvation? No. It's not just for saving individuals. There's more to it. He wants to glorify the Son. He wants to give his son a people that will praise him. This is how beautiful and great Jesus is. He deserves a people to praise him. He deserves a people to follow him and recognize him as king. There's a lot going on here. There's something going on that's greater than just individuals being saved. It is that, but it's more than that. And what else is going on? An ever-increasing kingdom. An ever-increasing kingdom. John the Baptist said this, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand." Jesus said the same thing. He said, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand." Repent. This is the warning to the people. You better repent. The kingdom of God is at hand. Will you tell people this? Will you live this? Jesus said to pray this way, Matthew 6:10, "Your kingdom come. Your will be done on heaven as it is on earth as it is in heaven." Luke 11:20 says, "But if I cast out demons by the finger of God, then the kingdom of God has come upon you." Did Jesus cast out demons? Did he cast out demons? Yes. Then what is it? What does it mean then? Oh, the kingdom of God has come. We're praying for it. It has come, and it is coming, and it will come. You have to believe this. God is doing something in the world. Jesus taught that this kingdom is like a mustard seed. It's like leaven. It's going to be slow. It's going to be methodical. But there's going to be communities of birds living in this tree. There's going to be leaven. It's going to be growing. It's going to be filling the earth. It's methodical. It's consistent. It's daily. And there's great patience with God's people. Because we know God's doing this. We couldn't do this. We didn't plan this. God is doing this. So we have this patience. And we know that Jesus Christ will take Garner as a Christian city. He will. This is going to happen. So what should we be doing then? If it's going to happen, should we not do anything? No. We want to be part of this. We want to be the ones that are leaving this legacy for this town, for the surrounding towns, for Wake County, for America, right? We want to give ourselves to something that's going to lend to this. And I guess the question is, do you believe this? You say, this is too big, I can't even think this way. It's too big that Jesus is going to actually be king over the world. And he's going to rule and reign. And he's going to use the church to bring in all the nations. This is too much. It's too much. And it is too much. It is impossible for any one person. It's impossible for any one church. And that's exactly the point. Because God is going to get all the glory. He's going to get all the glory. We're going to work our butts off. We're going to sweat. We're going to work really hard. And he is going to get all the glory. We're not going to sit around and let someone else do it. No. This is our town. What other church in this area is saying Garner is going to be a Christian city? I can tell you, probably not one. And there's like 25 churches in Garner. They don't have that vision. They're not believing this great commandment or this great commission. Isaiah 2, verse 2. "Now it will come about that in the last days, the mountain of the house of the Lord will be established as the chief of the mountains, and will be raised up above the hills, and all the nations will stream to it." All the nations, this great mountain will be raised, and all the nations will come to it. Do you believe this? You must. This is our hope. This is missions, true missions. So we see the authority of Christ. Let's look at the proximity of Christ. Again, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And what does he say? And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Do you see how close Jesus is in this hard process of winning the nations? Do you see what he's saying here? This is my mission. I'm going to help you. I'm going to be with you. This is my mission. I'm not going to leave you. I'm going to be beside you. Many people fast. Many people have long prayers. Many people do weird spiritual things to get Jesus to feel like he's close to them. All right? Not that prayer is weird, but you know what I'm saying. Maybe vain repetitions. They do these things and they want Jesus to be close. Church, if you want Jesus to be close to you, give your life to baptizing the nations. If you want Jesus to be close to you, give your life to his mission. Do you want Jesus to be close? Then be on his mission. His mission. Men, give your life to conquering the nations. I'll put it a little better for you, right? What do I mean by this? Not really. Are we winning the nations? Yeah, it's one way of saying it. We're winning them by conquering them. Conquer the nations. Go and conquer the nations. Say, what does this look like? It looks like being a man of God. It looks like actually living out your faith. It looks like boning up on some of your doctrine so you can actually tell these false pagans why they're wrong and why they should submit to Christ. It looks like sharpening your sword, sharpening your axe. Will you go to war against these nations? This is where you'll find purpose. This is where you'll learn to be brave. This is where you'll leave a legacy. Your sons, your daughters, you must think of them as you live on mission. You might not see some of these things. You might not see Garner becoming a Christian city in our lifetime, but your daughters and sons might. Your granddaughters, your grandsons might. Are you thinking of them? CRF exists to make Garner a Christian city. Will you take up this cause? Will you see this? The specific weird statement and see it as a challenge for your life. Will you do this? Will you say, wait a second. Good, stay right there in your confusion and work on it and chew on it and ask questions and read the scriptures and figure it out, because this is important. This is the mission of Christ. Secondly, CRF exists to feast on God's word. If we have this great mission, this impossible mission, we need fuel. When I was in the Air Force, we would eat these things called MREs. You ever hear of these things? Like 1,500 calories in one thing. We'd eat three of these things in a day, plus other foods. Why? We needed the calories because we were working and marching and digging foxholes and doing crazy things, right? And so if we have a great mission, you need fuel. What is that fuel? What is it going to be? You must feast on God's word. You must feast on God's word. You have to. Psalm 19. They are more desirable than gold. Yes, much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the drippings of the honeycomb. Can you see God's word as being more desirable? Do you know the value of an ounce of gold right now? When I was buying and selling gold, it was like $900 an ounce. Just a little piece of gold. And now it's worth $3,200, 1 ounce of gold. $3,200. Do you know God's word is more valuable than that? It's more valuable than that. If I were to give you an ounce of gold every day, $3,200, here you go. Here you go, kid. Put it in your pocket. Next day, I give you another one. You put it in your pocket. You probably start looking for me, right? Where's that Ken guy with the gold? I'd like some more of that gold, right? And yet every day you have a chance. Every day you have an opportunity to find gold, to mine gold in God's word. Are you taking that opportunity? Are you seeing it as more valuable than anything? Can you see the value of God's word? Can you see the value of this? Again, I can take you to a restaurant. You can eat steak, your favorite dessert, whatever it would be. Do you know God's word's better than that? It's tastier than that. Will you consume it? Again, you have a great mission upon you. You can't do it. Vitamins and calorie deficient. You need your protein because you need to work and you need God's word. Will you give yourself to the daily study and reading of God's word, applying it to your life, asking questions, praying about these things? Will you? Can you see the value of it? You say, okay, I see the value. Oh, yes, we're reformed and we know that God's word is like important and right. All right, but will you eat it? Will you eat it? Will you consume it? Will you consume it? Some of you have consumed enough of God's word to come to Christ, right? Like, I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. My conscience was weighing heavy. We know it was the Spirit's work. We know that it was a plan before the foundations of the world. And now that you have your salvation, you got baptized, and you're coming to church, but you will not consume much more than that. You eat lightly, you eat daintily, like an old woman, right? No, I just have to have a little cracker. That's all I need today. I have just a little something, because I'm watching my weight. You have a meal before you. You have a feast before you, and you will not consume it because you're afraid. Because if I get more calories in, then I'm gonna be more responsible with this. That's right. You will be. But you'll be with God. You'll walk with God. Why do you fear God's word? Because you fear God. In a wrong way. You fear what he's going to make you do when you realize this is what he said. Stop it. I rebuke you in Jesus' name. Get into his word. Get into theology. Go further. Eat more. Consume his word. Don't be afraid. It's the concept of theological maximalism, not theological minimalism, right? We're not just trying to eat enough to be these starved people. There's churches that's what they have. They have a children's service, but in their main service, it's just another children's service. We need to get the children out of here so we can be entertained. It's like going to the movies and getting a babysitter, right? Nothing is happening in the main service. There's probably more going on in the infant and the kids' service. There's probably more biblical teaching going on than the main service. And why? Because we don't want to be offensive, and we want a lot of people to be in our church. And if we say all these hard things and say hard doctrines, they're not going to come. Yeah, maybe. But if the Spirit moves, if God moves, they'll come. We want to be theological maximalists. We want to eat deeply and go deeply. You say theology divides, doctrine divides. Yeah, it does. It does. It does. Gloriously, it does. Thank God that it does. But for those that are eating, those that are healthy, you don't need many of them. You only how many special forces people do you need, right? How many of the greatest special forces guys do you really need to take over a whole town? Not many. With the right weapons, with the right strategy, they can take down a whole town. So I'm not asking for everybody. I'm asking for a few faithful people that will go deep. Will you go deeper with God? Will you go deeper with God? This theological maximalism goes to a cultural maximalism, meaning we would say this, as many people say these days, all of Christ for all of life. We're not going to stop at just keeping things within the church. We're not going to stop by just keeping things in a Christian context. We're not going to stop anywhere because Christ is King everywhere. Is he not? Is he not King everywhere? Every sphere, your emotional life, your mental life, your physical life, in the church, in the family, in the government. Christ is King. Stop acting like you're going to only do the religious things over here in this little box. Or you're going to tiptoe to the culture, and you're just going to talk about the way they talk. Don't use their language. You teach them true biblical language. You teach them what the Bible says. You teach them. Aren't we to teach the nations? Why are you letting them teach you? Why are you letting them disciple you? Church, we have to trust God. Van Til says it this way: a culture is the religion of a people externalized. The culture that we have a category for secular behavior. This is like a safe space, right? That we can all talk and everything's okay, and we can use, pronouns and be sensitive to people. There's no safe spaces. There's no safe spaces with an all-knowing, all-seeing, holy God. No, we speak the truth. And so we want the culture. The culture is bowing down to religion. They're not irreligious. They're utterly religious. They're utterly following their false gods. And then you are bowing down to them, trying to say, oh, okay, I'm trying to be nice to you. No, they are pagans. They are idolaters. They are murderers. They are thieves. And they've lulled you to sleep. Stand up for your God. Stand up for truth. They're worshiping false gods. They're worshiping false gods. And we got to be brave enough to tell them to see their idolatry and turn. Psalm 24, Michael taught on this last week. The earth is the Lord's. What does your translation say? The earth is Yahweh's. The earth is Yahweh's, and all it contains, the world and those who dwell in it. Do you believe this? The earth is the Lord's. Do you believe this? No, these people that, they're sensitive and, they're not Christian. And so they don't know the earth is the Lord's and the people too. They need to know, and they do know. They do know. They're liars. They know that they're sinning against the holy God. Stop believing the lie. Stop believing the culture. And so what does that do? We want the culture to bow to Christ. We might be the subculture right now, but that's not going to be that. It's not going to be that all the time. No, it's Jesus' plan that we will be the dominant culture, and we're not ashamed of it. We're not ashamed of it because we don't want false idolaters leading the world. We don't want that. We actually want God to rule and reign and apply his law to the land. Because what's going to happen? It's going to bless a people. When God's law is applied to the land, do you think it's going to make things worse? It's going to be better, far better. Justice will reign. Equity will reign. It's going to be beautiful. Does it mean everybody's saved? No. But every nation needs to be a Christian nation. And every nation will be a Christian nation. It will happen. That's going to take time, but it's going to happen. CRF exists to make Garner a Christian city. CRF exists to feast on God's word. CRF exists to be patient, jovial reformers. Now, this is in contrast to not or being impatient revolutionaries. All right, we're going to be patient. Philippians 4 says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your gentle spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. We will rejoice. We will be a church that rejoices, knowing that God's will, knowing that what God's will is, and knowing that He is for us. And the primary way that our joy is going to spread to our neighbors is by this message of the gospel. This message of the gospel. It's going to take time, but we are patient. We are patient. I'm not trying to force people into Christianity. We're not saying bow down and get baptized. No, we're going to live. And you know what we're going to do? We're going to get better as being a people, a church. The church needs to get better. Can I just say that? The church needs to get better. All these churches need to get better, right? The universal church needs to get better. We need to be more unified. And so this takes time. But we do want to be a joyful people. Someone say, Garner, a Christian city? You want Raleigh to be a Christian city? Do you understand how hard that will be? This is the capital city. Do you understand how liberal it is? You understand this is where baby murder just flows from? How would you ever change that? The gospel and time. The gospel and time. The gospel and time. Some great things have happened in the last 2,000 years. Right? And in 2,000 years from now, some great things are going to happen again. The gospel and time. That's all we have to do. We have to wait. We have to wait, be patient, and work. We know, when Paul tells Timothy to have, in dealing with the churches, and he says, have great patience and instruction. Right? It's almost unfair. You got everything starts out great. Jesus ascends. Acts comes on the scene. Peter preaches. 3,000 people come. Right? And we're like, yes! This is how it should be. And then something about widows. Right? And then we get to Paul now. And now he's telling Timothy. He's not saying, hey, just go preach like Peter did and 3,000 people will come. He's saying, Timothy, be patient. Great patience. And then keep teaching. Keep teaching. Revival can come at any time. Anytime this whole thing can move at light speed, we could be years in advance. We don't know when that can happen. The Spirit is the one that does this. But we just keep teaching. We keep teaching. We keep being patient. That's what we do. We will be a people that rejoice. And we will be a people that will not fear. We will not fear. You're commanded to rejoice. Do you know that's a command, right? Rejoice is a command. Really? God commanded me to emote? Yeah. Rejoice. And He also can't command you not to fear. He commands you not to fear. How can we do this in such an evil age? By praying, asking all things, asking in everything, being thankful that we are God's people, and knowing that God is with us. Knowing that God is with us. This is where your fear subsided, when you know that God is with you. You say, how do I know God is with me? Are you on His mission? Are you trusting Him by His word? Are you about making Garner a Christian city? About advancing this gospel together in the church? God is with you. Do you believe this? All right, last one. CRF exists to make Garner a Christian city. CRF exists to feast on God's word. CRF exists to be patient, jovial reformers. And CRF exists to leave a legacy, to leave a legacy. This is the psalm that Michael read, Psalm 78. I'm going to read it if you guys are there. Psalm 78, 1 through 8. Listen closely. And he says it at first. Listen, O my people, to my instruction. Incline your ears to the word of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old. Verse 3, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us, we will not conceal them from their children, but tell the generations to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wondrous works that he has done. For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should teach them to their children. Stop right there. The gospel for families. The gospel for families. CRF is going to leave a legacy by focusing on families. We're going to focus on families. So what are you talking about? We're going to focus on discipling our children. We're going to focus on teaching them how to teach their children. And then how to teach their children. And this happens not by just some Bible study. It happens with the people that are committed to family, God's family. And they're committed to teaching their children the beautiful doctrines in the scriptures. It's beautiful. This is how it happens. This is primarily how it happens. Michael Foster did a commencement speech the other day. And he wrote this. It was to a Christian high school. He says, "You're going to deeply care about legacy. Maybe not today, maybe not next year, but eventually you will. One day you'll realize that life isn't just something you live; it's something you leave behind. Some of you don't see this yet." And what you leave behind will either bless the next generation or burden it. You can leave blessings, you can leave curses. Here's what I want you to hear. Legacy isn't just about what you accomplish. It's about who you become and who you serve. We have to get this. You have to understand this. We've talked a lot about big goals, big concepts. You're talking about like winning Garner for Jesus. Garner's going to be this Christian city. Maybe Pastor Ken's going to be the mayor. What is going on here? What are you talking about? Right? All these big goals, all this greatness. But understand this. CRF will be primarily serving, discipling families, how to get better at training up their children. That will be our primary teaching and goal. You say, what are you talking about? You guys are always evangelizing. You're talking about the Great Commission. You're talking about the nations bowing down. This is how it happens. This is how it happens. Discipling your kids, training them, teaching them. This is how God works. This is how he works. I don't understand it. Again, being a first-generation Christian, it's hard for me to understand it. Coming from a pagan family, it's hard for me to understand it because I was radically saved from my sin. I knew I was going to die. I knew I was going to go to hell unless God saved me. And the children, they believe that too. My kids believe that. They didn't have that radical transformation, but thank God they did in the sense that they gave their life to Christ. They didn't have all the sin piled up that I had. This is primarily what we're going to be focusing on. Now, are we going to evangelize? Of course. We're going to be faithful to God's word. Are we going to bring our kids to certain events and so they can see us doing this? Of course. Of course. But primarily, it's family. The church is a family. And we're helping other families. And we're living out, and we're starting to build our unique culture that's going to affect generations after generations. This is how God has been working in the world from the beginning. And I know evangelists hate this. They're like, no! Then we got to go out and, you know, Paul and 3,000 people. All right. I haven't seen 3,000 people come lately on the streets of Raleigh. Just haven't seen it. Not that God can't do that, but that's not within our power. God has to do it. We just preach. We just go out there and tell the people. He's the one that's going to descend upon people. He's the one that's going to move people. He's the one that creates revival in the churches and spreads those out. But the common, everyday grind of the church is family-oriented. It's teaching the kids. It's being a good example. It's feeding them, loving them, giving them the word, teaching them how to live. That's what it is. And so you need to embrace it. You need to embrace it. I mean, you have churches that have mission programs, and they're sending missionaries all over the world, and yet their kids are like demons, right? It's like, no, I gave a bunch of money. Yeah, but your kid is a literal demon. He's floating around here and entering people, right? No. It's like they're missing it. We're missing it. You can't buy what I'm talking about. You can't buy it. It's beyond wealth. It's beautiful. And only the Lord can do it. Lastly, the gospel of adoption. I think Acts 2, 38, 39 kind of blend this all together. Peter said to them, repent, each of you, be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off and as many as the Lord our God will call to himself. It's beautiful. It's exactly what I'm talking about. We're going to reach the nations. But God's plan is to reach families that will reach the nations. And so, a few things there, right? CRF exists to make Garner a Christian city. Hopefully you start to see that, hey, either Ken's crazy or this great commission is deeper and larger, maybe more expansive than I ever thought of. Because what does the nations mean in that passage? Right? All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore. Is he saying that he's going to make disciples? A little bit of disciples in every nation? Is that what he's saying? Go to the nations and get some disciples. Go get a handful of disciples and be happy with it. Is that what he's saying? Or is he saying this? Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations. Make disciples of the nation of America, or the city of Garner. I don't believe he's saying a few here and a few there. He's saying every nation will bow down and you will disciple them. And how do you do this? By teaching and baptism. That's what he's saying. Now, some people might disagree with that, but they'd be wrong, right? So CRF exists to make Garner a Christian city. CRF exists to feast on God's word. You need this fuel. You can't do this kind of mission without God's word. You need to love it, obey it, apply it. CRF exists to be patient, jovial reformers. We're not going to be revolutionaries. We're not going to be impatient. This is not a revolution. We're not going to take up arms and go start killing people. No. We're going to be patient. And we know this takes time. And lastly, CRF exists to leave a legacy. Am I saying 20 years? No. I'm saying 20 generations. You need to start thinking longer, further. You need to start thinking more maturely, more like God. That's how he thinks. In generations.
get beyond yourself, get beyond your immediate family and your immediate circumstances, and start looking into the future like God does, like mature men do, right? And so the challenge this week, and we'll end it here, will you honor Christ by living out these distinctives? Or would you at least honor Christ by looking more deeply into these distinctives and asking how God could use them in your life? All right? All right, let's pray. Father, we do thank you for this church. We thank you for what you're doing in the world. We are excited, Lord, and we want to give you all the glory, all the praise. We know we can't do this without you. It's impossible. It's tremendous. But we're not going to dumb down this great mission just to make ourselves feel better so we can pay some money and our conscience be clean. No, God forbid. Help us to take up this mantle. Help us to see the impossibility of it, just like the impossibility of the dead being raised. And help us to lean into this, work towards this, because we wouldn't be stressed out working for your glory, not working for ourselves. In Jesus' name, amen.
All right, would you please stand? Turn in your hymnals to